The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Let's talk about COVID-19 and let's talk about vaccines because you'll probably have been terrified by some of the headlines that have emerged over the last few days. It's all a little Ted Hastings, mother of God, when you read headlines like you did in one of the newspapers this morning, where it told us that there were three cases of Indian variant detected here. India's been added to Britain's red list countries. We're now going to talk about whether we're going to do that here as well, even though you can't travel directly to India. You kind of have to pass through another country to get here first. Deputy Chief Medical Officer Dr. Ronan Glynn was asked about this last night, and his answer was kind of relevant as to whether we should all start panicking when we hear of new variants.
If you look online at what's being published about this particular variant or other variants, you'd be forgiven for thinking that the world was coming to an end. I mean, some of the commentary, speculation and coverage internationally of variants is really disproportionate to either what we know at present or the actual real world impact of these to date. It's not that we're not concerned. It's not that we don't need to remain vigilant. But I would be concerned that people looking at some of the coverage of this internationally would feel a real sense of powerlessness and would feel that you know, everything we're doing here is at imminent risk as a result of these variants. Like, viruses, by their nature, replicate. By their nature, we will see new variants. We need to monitor them. We need to the greatest extent possible, we need to stop their importation and spread in this country, and we will do that. But I think from an individual perspective out there in Ireland tonight, the best thing people can do is do all the things they've been doing and get vaccinated as soon as the vaccine is offered to them. They're the things that will protect them ultimately, regardless of which variant or variants are circulating in the community.
Very sensible there from Dr. Ronan Glynn, the Deputy Chief Medical Officer. Anthony Staines, Professor of Human Health Systems at the School of Nursing and Human Resources at DCU, and Ilona Duffy from Monaghan, a GP based there, are both on the line. Anthony Staines, to you first of all. We obviously have to be worried about variants, but I don't think anyone's mental health is benefiting from some of the headlines that are coming out before science has kind of gotten to grips with what these variants actually mean for vaccines.
Yeah, it's still very, very unclear. I mean, for example, with the Indian variant, to my knowledge, no one knows if it's more transmissible than the B117 variant, which is the main virus in Ireland right now and has been since Christmas. And also no one knows if it causes more severe illness. There isn't a lot of indication that it's either of these things. Some of the other variants are perhaps causes for more concern. There is evidence that at least two existing variants are relatively resistant and to the existing vaccines. Now, relatively resistant means a lower level of protection, but not no protection. And I think one very important message to everyone is that regardless of what variants are trotting around the place, the best thing all of us can do at the moment is to actually get vaccinated.
Yeah, one of the things, Anthony, that I wanted to ask you about was that a lot of the lab testing, because it's lab testing rather than real world testing, because these variants are happening outside of our control and we have to let science catch up. Yes, the antibody reaction mightn't be as good, but there is more than just an antibody reaction. We also have our T cell reaction and our overall immune system. So we really need to see what happens in vaccinated countries such as the United States and Israel and Britain when these variants are introduced there to find out what actually is going to happen on the ground.
Yeah, and I think it will vary from country to country as well. I think that people's background immunity is going to be somewhat different. The level of exposure may be somewhat different, and there's evidence that influences your immune response substantially. So as we get more information out of other countries, I think what we need to do will become clearer. But the reality is that regardless of new variants, old variants, any variants you want, what we need to do is the same thing. What we need to do is control the spread of this virus, activate public health, bring the virus down to the lowest level possible, and get vaccinated. And, you know, the Taoiseach has been calling for strong suppression of COVID-19 now for a couple of months. And we would urge the government to take the necessary steps to make that happen.
Well, one of the ways we could do that, and this is why we wanted to bring you on, is the suggestion that you can space out the gap between the two doses of the Pfizer and Moderna vaccine, predominantly Pfizer, because that's the vaccine that we have the most of in this country. It says on the bottle that you have to have the second one within 4 weeks of the first. But Israel hasn't necessarily done that, and Britain certainly hasn't done that. Is there merit in that argument?
No, I don't think there is. And I'll tell you why. The Israelis have looked at this in great detail, and we now have a very, very large amount of real-world data from Israel. And what it says is that your first dose of Pfizer does give you significant protection, but there's a big jump in protection from your first dose to your second dose. So if you have a large number of people who only had one dose of Pfizer, they're less protected than they think they are. And this doesn't matter if they don't change their behavior. But the problem is they will change their behavior.
Yeah.
The British have done something which is a fascinating experiment. And I just hope we don't all end up paying heavily for it. Because if you thought about how to encourage the spread of vaccine-resistant variants, half vaccinating several million people would be a pretty good way of doing it. So my own view is that we should stick with the trial duration or something close to it, you know, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks. But we should not be contemplating going where the British are going. And the Israelis will say themselves that they've paid a price for what they did. Part of their drive to spread out doses was driven by an election.
I hear your caution and I understand it. Could we even add another week or two to the 4 weeks? I mean, you mentioned 5 weeks, maybe 6 weeks, because that will just mean more jabs and more arms, and we can be reasonably confident of supply then for the second dose.
I don't think a couple of weeks is going to make any great difference. But I do think we need to be cautious because, you know, if you start saying, well, 5 weeks, what about 8 weeks? Or, well, maybe let's go for 10 weeks. As you extend it out, the risks go up. So if we were in a situation that the virus was running out of control in our country, the decision my view would be different. But we're not. We're in a situation where the virus is coming down very, very, very slowly. It's bobbing around 300, 400, 200, 400 over the last couple of weeks. That's not a crisis. And I think we would need to be cautious about a crisis reaction to where we find ourselves.
Let's bring in Ilona Duffy, who's a GP up in Monaghan. Ilona, you're very welcome to the Pat Kenny Show. Good morning.
Good morning.
You are vaccinating away in your practice. Not sure if you're doing it today or not, but you will be able to vaccinate cohorts more of cohort four this week and cohort seven. Are the phones ringing off the hook for people trying to get in?
They are. Now, again, most GPs are still vaccinating the over 70s. We still haven't completed that group. And in our practice, we had a large clinic on Saturday. We have another this Saturday, and we still will have another in May. So there's still a bit of work to do to finish those groups. We have managed to do some of the high-risk patients, those in the group 4A, and a few from 7. But I think things have changed even for us in general practice, and that the plan was that if we were doing those extra groups, it would be using the AstraZeneca. And as we now know, that has had to change again. So that is creating some difficulties and probably will mean that many of the GP practices who had planned to do those groups will not be able to, because just it's a lot more difficult to organise in your practice and with the time constraints if you're using the Pfizer. So I think, again, as Anthony Thames has said, it's about vaccinating. And we've got to see the mass clinics opening up, and we know that they are in all of our counties around the country. But we need to see them working on the 7 day a week, the 12 hours as is planned, and to get that working as fast as possible, because we have the promise that the vaccines are coming. So if they're coming, let's get them out there and get them into people's arms.
Yeah. Is there hesitancy amongst the 60 to 69 group who are able to use that online portal and who are getting jabs as we speak? Are you getting a lot of concern from them?
We have been getting a lot of calls, and again, that's not surprising because there's been so much in the media about it and so much highlighting of the small clotting risk. again, for us, I suppose, we're giving the stats and telling people when they ring that their risk of getting one of these clots is 0.0005%. And sometimes when they hear that figure, they realise how small it is and they're happy to go ahead. But some of this group actually are kind of expressing concern about the fact that they're now getting a vaccine that means they'll get their first dose and they won't get their second dose until 12 weeks later. And in that period of time, people younger than them will be offered the likes of Pfizer and Moderna and will be fully vaccinated before they are, and therefore out of maybe the isolation and the cocooning that they're having to do. And they're a bit unhappy with that. So they're asking us, well, can I not get it with you? Can I not get one of the mRNA vaccines? And we're having to say, look, there is no choice. Unfortunately, you get the first dose, the first vaccine that you're offered, you should take. And again, it will offer you protection, so it's good. But it is difficult for people, I think, when they're reading mixed messages and they're hearing that the guidance is changing so much. And nothing can be done about that. I mean, we have to be based on the evidence. And I suppose all of this is new and we're learning as time goes on based on side effects, risks, benefits, everything that we see in every other country, not just Ireland.
You heard Anthony Staines' concern there about rushing to extend the dose between the Pfizer vaccines. Do you see merit in doing it? Would it help you, for example, in your practice, get through cohorts 4 and 7 a lot faster?
I think I'd have concern unless it's evidence-based. So we know that if you look at the guidance, even from other countries, they are talking about that where it's required because of a shortage of vaccines, and in an attempt to vaccinate your at-risk groups, that you can extend the distances, specifically with the Pfizer vaccine, to 6 weeks. But there really doesn't seem to be any evidence beyond that. And I suppose the British Society of Immunology have said that they feel it doesn't seem to affect, that there's no negative effect on the overall immune response post-boost if it's delayed to 6 weeks. But again, other countries like Canada, like the USA, are kind of recommending that we follow the guidance that is there, which is 21 to 28 days. But if necessary, it can be extended to the 42 days. So I think talk of extending it to 12 weeks seems to be something that's not being done in other countries apart from maybe the UK. And we need to have caution. But again, why are we needing to do this? If we've been promised extra vaccines, if we're getting the vaccines in, and we have now already managed to vaccinate most of our over 70s, and if we can move on and vaccinate our at-risk groups, then there really should be no need to, as long as we can get the vaccines out.
It's because that there's such pent up demand that is out there right now, that everybody wants this and they want to know, can we go to the pub? If we're talking about opening the pubs at the end of May, can we go on holidays? Can we travel intercounty in June? We're gathered around the start line waiting for someone to pull the starting pistol. That's the reason why we're having this conversation. Is that the best environment to try and start that chat?
It's absolutely not. And I think when you're hearing conversations that where, let's say, being reported that you might be able to go to the hairdresser if you were fully vaccinated, and we're hearing about vaccine passports, again, if you're fully vaccinated, to allow free travel to other countries, that doesn't help because that creates a hunger amongst people to, you know, get vaccinated, not necessarily because of the medical benefits, but basically because they want that freedom. So we also have to look at it. And we know that whole thing of get our at-risk people, the people that are more likely to end up in hospital and are more likely to die vaccinated. And then at least we're creating a safer environment for everybody around us, and we can still open up without everybody being vaccinated. But again, it is back to, we have these vaccine centres ready to go. They've been up and ready. They're ready to be staffed. We have to hope we have enough staff. I still have concern that we're not going to have enough vaccinators because we've made the process so cumbersome, and we haven't in any way made it easy for people like myself and our other GP partners and our practice nurses to be able to do shifts in there to help out and to ensure that the vaccine centres are working to their maximum capacity, and therefore delivering all the vaccines as they come in and ensuring that as many people can be vaccinated in as short a time as possible. And that's something that still, I feel, hasn't been fully addressed.
Are people still absolutely terrified of this, Ilona? Or have you started to see a weight being lifted from people's shoulders? Definitely the vaccinated. But I remember speaking to you back in January, and you were making phone calls to people who had, you were giving them a positive result based on a PCR, and they were out and about and they were still in the shops. And I know you were very frustrated at that time, and you've worked really hard like all your GP colleagues since. But have you a sense now that people see that this is coming to an end, and that we are heading in the right direction?
Well, I think, as you said, especially for those who are vaccinated, and it is wonderful, especially the over 70s, because, look, they've been in lockdown for a full year. We had people coming into the clinics, especially when we did the first one, those who were over 85, telling us they hadn't actually left their house except maybe to go to a hospital appointment and to come into us for that vaccine. They hadn't been to a shop. They hadn't been to a family member's house. They might have had one family member coming into them, and that was it. So there's a huge weight lifted off them and their family members who feel now at least that elderly, more vulnerable person is protected. But I think we still have problems going on. Like even last week, we had an issue where somebody contacted us to say they were close contact of a positive case. And we were saying, well, we're not involved in that. You'll be contacted by the contact tracers. And they said, well, no, because the person who's positive hasn't given our names. And when I said, well, you know, surely just ask them to give your names. Maybe they forgot. No, they're not giving all the names of the people. And again, similarly, we're having people who are traveling into the country who've traveled from at-risk countries like Brazil, but they haven't come directly from Brazil. They've come from another European country. Nobody's followed up on them to see, are they isolating and restricting at home? Have they had tests done? So that's all still being missed. And again, if we're worrying about variants coming into the country, we're very lucky. We're an island country. We should be able to handle this and manage it better. And I think people traveling into the country who are having to restrict in any way, it has to be checked that they are doing that. And I still have concerns that people aren't and that they're not getting the appropriate testing done when they're meant to be getting it done to ensure that they are safe to go out and go back to work and normal living.
Okay, Ilona Duffy, good luck as you continue with those vaccination clinics. Thank you very much for joining us from your practice in Monaghan, and thanks to Anthony Staines as well of Dublin City University for that update.